Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yeah, thanks. So we're going to read the chapter summary for chapter 10 and 11. 11th canto, chapter 10 and 11. Hare Krishna. Krishna is instructing Uddhava as follows. As long as the living entity thinks that the modes of nature have a separate existence from the Lord, he will be obliged to take birth in many different forms and will experience varieties of material existence. Chapter 11. Both the Jiva and the Supersoul reside in the same body like two birds in a tree. The Almighty Supersoul, fully cognizant, does not indulge in enjoying the fruits of material work, but simply witnesses, whereas the infinitesimal soul, being ignorant, suffers the consequences of his work. And then we're going to do the verse. Oh, there it is. And this is our verse for the day, the two birds in the tree. Suparnave tau sadrisho shakayo. Suparnave tau sadrisho shakayo. Yadrichchai aktau kritanidhau cha rikshe. Yadrichchai aktau kritanidhau cha rikshe. Yadrichchai aktad kritanidhau cha rikshe. Ekastayo kadati pippalanam. Ekastayo kadati pippalanam.
Ekastayo kadati pippalanam.
Anyo nirano pibalena buyai.
Anyo nirano pibalena
buyan. Suparnavaveto sadrisho shak. Hayao.
Suparnaveta sabisha sakayao.
Yadrich chayata krita need how chavrikshe. Ekastayo kadati pippalanam.
Ekastayo kadati pippalanam.
Anyo nirano pibalena buyan.
Anyo nirano pibalena buyan.
Please chant. Suparnaveta sadrisho shakayo. Sadrich chayata krita nidha chavrikshe. Ekastayo kadati pippalanam. Anyo nirano pibalena buyai. Suparnaveta. Yadriksha yato krita nita chavrikshe. Ekastayo kadati pipalanam. Anyo nirano pibalena buyan. Suparnaveta sadrisho shakayo. Yadrich tayato krita nidhau chavrikshe. Ekastayo kadati pipalanam. Anyo nirano pibalena buyam. One of the ladies, please. Supana veto sadrisho shakayo. Yadrich chayata krita nidhau chavrikshe. Kastaya kadati pipalanam. Anyo nirano pibalena buyan suparno. Two birds. Eto, these. Sadrisho, similar. Sakayo, friends. Yadrichchaya, by chance. Eto, these two. Krita, made. Nidhau, a nest. Cha, and. Rikshe, in a tree. Eka, one. Twayo, of the two. Kadati, is eating. Pipala, of the tree. Anam, the fruits. Anya, the other. Nirana, not eating. Api, although. Balena, by strength. Buyam, he is superior. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. By chance, what was the word for chance? Sanskrit. Yadrichchaya. It's a very interesting word. Not that I know much about it, but anyway. Yadrichchaya. Vishwanath Chakravarti talks about that a lot. Yadrichchaya. Because nothing really happens by chance, but we just say by chance. By chance, two birds have made a nest together in the same tree. The two birds are friends and are of similar nature. One of them, however, is eating the fruits of the tree, whereas the other, who does not eat the fruits, is in a superior position due to his potency. Let's repeat it. By chance, together, we'll do it together. By chance, the two birds have made a nest together in the same tree. The two birds are friends and are of similar nature. One of them, however, is eating the fruits of the tree, whereas the other, who does not eat the fruits, is in a superior position due to his potency. Purport. The example of the two birds in the same tree is given to illustrate the presence within the heart of the material body of both the individual soul and the supersoul, the personality of Godhead. So right here in that first sentence, we can see that most people are under the illusion, if they even have any inclination to spiritual life, they're under the illusion that there's only one soul in the body. But here that we're actually understanding through the Vedic literature, there's two souls. There's the super soul and the jiva soul. The individual soul and the supreme soul is there within the body. Just as a bird makes a nest in a tree, the living entity sits within the heart. The example is appropriate because a bird is always distinct from the tree. Similarly, both the individual soul and the super soul are distinct entities, separate from the temporary material body. The word balena indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied by his own internal potency, which consists of eternity, omniscience, and bliss. What's the Sanskrit for that? Sat-chit-ananda, eternity, omniscience, and bliss. As indicated by the word buyam, or having superior existence, the Supreme Lord is always in a superior position, whereas the living entity is sometimes in illusion and sometimes enlightened. What's the Sanskrit for that? Sometimes in illusion, the nature of the living entity? Tatastha Shakti. Sometimes he's in illusion, or if he makes the proper choice, he can choose to be enlightened or in God consciousness. But because has his independence, he can choose. But once you make the choice which energy you're going to follow, then it's all, of course, if you choose to try to ignore Krishna, then you're under the action-reaction modes of material nature. There's very little freedom. The only freedom is which choice you make. Indicates, okay, I lost my place. As buyam experience. Balena indicates that the Lord is never in darkness or ignorance, but is full in his perfect, blissful consciousness. you want to read the next paragraph, somebody? Thanks. Nirana? Oh, sorry.
Or uninterested in the bitter fruit of material activities, whereas the ordinary conditioned soul busily consumes such bitter fruits, thinking them to be sweet. Ultimately, the fruit of all material endeavor is death. But the living entity foolishly thinks material things will bring him pleasure. The word sakayo, or two friends, is also significant. Our real friend, Lord Krishna, who is situated within our heart, only he knows our actual needs, and only he can give us real happiness.
Thank you. So a very important point here in this paragraph, too. There's two fruits. There's two types of fruits that the living entity's tasting in the material world, either the bitter or the sweet. And you're thinking, just like cherries, you know, you get your cherries, and they all look nice and red, but they don't all taste the same, you know, or any fruits, but cherries are a good example. They're all nice and red and small, and you're attracted, and you think, oh, so what's this saying here? The living entity thinks, oh, this will make me happy. But he tastes the fruits, and he gets if you remember from Prahlad Maharaj's story, what does he get? He gets exactly the opposite of what he's thinking. Now you think, right? An intelligent, just like if you put your hand in the fire and you get burnt, you learn, right? You don't keep doing it. Oh, no. But still we're doing it. We're doing it. We're thinking, this will make me happy. Oh, and you get opposite result. And so then what do we think? Oh, I just need to adjust it a little bit. It wasn't quite like that. If I just made it a little bit like that, then that would make me happy. So then you go for another fruit. It's bitter. It might taste good in the beginning. What does Bhagavad Gita say about fruits that taste good in the beginning or activities that are blissful in the beginning and bitter in the end? What does Bhagavad Gita say? Passion. You keep thinking, oh, well, I'll just try another thing. It tastes, it's good, whatever, in the beginning, and then in the end it's lousy. But still, we never learn. Amazing, isn't it? How the potency of illusion is so strong. So how do we break that illusion? We've repeatedly tried to be happy in the material world through various endeavors, and we're not becoming happy. How do we break that illusion? How are some of the ways? How do you surrender to the lotus feet? How do you know to surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord? Very good. And how do you get the association of devotees? How do you get the association of devotees? So what brings someone to the association of the devotees?
Materially exhausted.
Okay, there's a lot of materially exhausted people in the world. Getting warmer. The poor. Okay, what were you saying down here?
Super soul inspires the desire of the soul.
Super soul inspires. You're all correct. It's not like you're wrong, but I'm digging for something else. How is it that we come?
Hearing.
We get to hear from the pure devotee. Or the representative, you know, you hear, someone hears, and then they repeat, and then they repeat. We hear in that chain of, what's the chain called? Sorry, I'm just late, so I have to, like, kind of calm down a bit. Sorry. Thanks. Okay. So we hear from the parampara, the disciplic succession, and then we get a chance. Then the living entity gets a chance to actually see, oh, this material world isn't such a great place. I mean, it's very, just like Srila Prabhupada, he paints a picture of the reality of the material world so clearly that if the sincerity of the soul, the soul that's just trying to actually, after being material exhausted, when they hear that, it's very clear. It's very hard to, you know, like, turn your back on that, although it is possible. But still, he paints it so clearly, the results of tasting these fruits. We're thinking that we're only going to get sweet fruits, but it's not possible only to get sweet fruits. Can you continue? I know your name. Derek Prabhu. Thanks.
Lord Krishna is so kind that he patiently sits in the heart, trying to guide the conditioned soul back home, back to Godhead. Certainly, no material friend would remain with his foolish companion for millions of years, especially if his companions were to ignore him or even curse him. But Lord Krishna is such a faithful, loving friend that he accompanies even the most demoniac living entity and is also in the heart of the insect, pig, and dog. That is because Lord Krishna is supremely Krishna consciousness and sees every living entity as part and parcels of himself. Every living being should give up the bitter fruits of himself, the tree of material existence. One should turn one's face to the Lord within the heart and revive one's eternal love and relationship with one's real friend, Lord Krishna. The word sadrisho, or of similar nature, indicates that both the living entity and the personality of Godhead are conscious entities. As part and parcels of the Lord, we share the Lord's nature, but in infinitesimal quantity. Thus, the Lord and the living entity are sadrisho. A similar statement is found in
Svetasvatara Upanishad.
Upanishad.
It's always a tongue twister.
So he just skipped past that. So
no,
he went up too far.
Okay. Very important. Krishna Kripa will chant the Sanskrit. Okay, he has it there on his computer, right?
Yeah.
Or wherever.
Svasuparna Sayuj. Well, it's a tricky meter, isn't it? Svasuparna Sayuja Sakaya Samanam Viksham. Pai Shasvadate Toyoranya Pipalam Svadati Anashno Anya Pichakashiti.
Okay, so before you say the translation, Derek, what do you remember from looking at Suparna? What was Suparna in our verse? It was the same. Oh, Nanda Kumar. Bird. Okay. What about Pipala? Tree. Was the Pipala tree. Any other words you got there? Sakaya.
Friends.
Krishna is a friend of the living entity. Okay. Good. Sayuja. I was going to say, I don't remember. Sayuja, together. Okay, thanks. Translation? Very similar translation?
There are two birds in one tree. One of them is eating the fruits of the tree, while the other is witnessing the actions. The witness is the Lord, and the fruit eater is the living entity.
Thank you. So, actually, a very nice point is made by the commentators on the Bhagavatam here. Who has an experience of such a great friend that their friend stays with them through thick and thin, and thick and thin, and thick and thin, and thin, 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 thin? Thinner, so thin that you actually even, in such a degraded position, you might think you're a hog. You might think you're an insect, and your friend is still there. I mean, there's not much reciprocation that you could have with your friend in that type of a body, and he's still there, and he's still there in any type of body. What to speak of when you get to a human body and you actually have the intelligence to inquire what the goal of life is and, you know, who I am and this and that, and instead one actually is devotedly atheistic, or, you know, devotedly tries to, or whatever, you know, deliberately tries to do so many things against the principles of religion, and still your friend never gives up your company. And still, not only does he not give up your company, but he's always wishing you well. One of the symptoms of his presence, of the Lord's presence in the heart, is that conscience, sometimes known as guilty conscience. But sometimes that guilty conscience, that's Krishna, that's the super soul in the heart, trying to tell the living entity, you're not doing the right thing. You feel this very quiet background dread. You're not doing the right thing, and still you steal the bubble gum, or still you do the this, or still you go drinking with your friends, or, you know, I'm sorry. What can I say? It starts innocently. Here's my defense for that silly example. It starts innocently. You steal the bubble gum when you're a little kid, and you get away with it. And what's the result? You get a taste. Could be. One of the results is you get a taste for it. And so you feel a little guilty. If you do it again, you feel a little less guilty. If you do it again, you... And if you do it third, fourth, fifth, sixth time, you don't even hear anything. You've totally ignored the super soul, so he doesn't talk. He doesn't talk to you so loudly because you've covered him over with a bunch of junk activities, you know? So Krishna is such a kind friend that even if, now take all of those examples that were given, even if one approaches Krishna in a total inimical mood and tries to kill him, personally tries to kill him, Krishna still gives him liberation if he's personally killed by the Lord. No other incarnation of the Lord is like that. No other avatar, only Krishna. Krishna, only he will give liberation to either an enemy or even like the, it explains in Nectar Devotion, that the gopis and Kamsa, Sisupal, and Dantavakra all achieved the same liberation. Now that's totally amazing. I'm going to explain it, don't worry. I can see your question there. That's totally amazing, but that umbrella of liberation, there's different levels of liberation. So the gopis, I can feel the heat coming over here. The gopis actually obviously didn't receive the same level of liberation, but still, they it's like the example of the sun globe and the sunshine. If you're in the sunshine, you can't say that you're actually in the sun globe. But still, you're experiencing the heat and light of the sun. So the example is the different levels of liberation. But the point being is, even if one approaches the Lord, has the somehow or other has amassed some qualification to approach the Lord even inimically, they achieve to be killed by the Lord or to be embraced by the Lord. One gets a type of liberation. So what's the example? Or there's many examples. What's some of the examples that you can think of people who approach the Lord inimically? Putana? Yeah, that's the one. Uddhava in third canto. Aho pakiyam stanakala kutam yajiva grevartate namatubhyam. Okay, sorry. It takes a while for the verses to get in. But Uddhava's saying, who can be a more merciful Lord than Krishna? That he gave liberation to Putana. He calls Putana Baki, the sister of Bakasura. So he gave liberation to Putana. She came to him, we're familiar with the story, how she came to him with poison on her breast to kill him. And yet he gave her liberation. And he didn't just give her, you know, merging into the Brahman liberation. He gave her elevation to a Vaikuntha place and have a relationship like a mother, even though she approached him with such inimical feelings. So Uddhava's pointing out, who could be more merciful than Krishna? And so that's the point here. Krishna is the dearmost friend of all living entities. He never gives up on us. Never. Ever gives up on us. There's always the chance, even if one is the most sinful living entity and commits abominable sin after abominable sin, still, if they try to turn themselves to the Lord, as the example is here, the bird, the two birds in the tree, the one's busy eating the fruits and the other's just sitting there waiting for him to turn. If we just turn ourselves to the Lord, then the Lord is providing so much assistance on the way. Now, that doesn't mean that one can commit abominable activities, turn to the Lord, beg for forgiveness, and then everything's hunky-dory for a little bit of time, and then one commits more sinful activities on the strength that the Lord's going to forgive us. What's that problem called? It's offense against the holy name. Can you be more specific? Committing sinful activities on the strength of chanting. Actually, Prabhupada says that's the greatest offense. It's the greatest offense. But still, anyway, the Lord is still very kind and very merciful. And one gets the opportunity. He's always willing to give the opportunity for one to allow one to turn to him. So can you think of some examples through the scriptures now that you're already up to the 11th canto? So now you have to tell, now you have to have a review today. And think of some examples from the different stories that you read in the previous cantos of how, in different ways, and there's many different ways, how Krishna exhibited extreme friendship, you know, kindness to the living entities. Because the point, let's talk about, let's keep the point being how Krishna is the dearmost friend of all living entities. So some examples from the Golden Canto.
Krishna inspired Ajamil to name his son Narayan. So he would call him Narayan and become
amazing. Huh? That's a great one. Thanks. Keep it on. Someone else, an example? Oh, okay, free. From 1 to 7. Now the other test is going to be, if I can remember what's in 1 to 7 and what's not in 8, 9, 10. So somebody was saying something. Indra? Cantu. Okay, you're out. You're disqualified. Wrong canto. Balavasain, you have one?
Grandfather Bhishma Dev.
Ooh, how was that?
Grandfather Bhishma Dev was... He was benedicted that he wouldn't have to die under any circumstances that he didn't want to die under. And he wanted to see the Lord in front of him before he left his body. So Krishna made that arrangement that he was standing before him when he left his body.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. And that reminds me of something from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So of Haridas Thakur, who got the benediction by Lord Chaitanya to leave his body in front of Lord Chaitanya. Okay. Sagar and then
Bharat Maharaj, like, yeah, even though in his first life he got diverted from spiritual life, but still he, Krishna, by his Krishna's mercy, he remembered everything in his next life, so that he can still, he's, I think, associated with the sadhus in his, even in his deer form somehow.
In his deer form, he remembered that he didn't want to associate with just ordinary deers.
Yeah. Deer deers.
Thanks.
Here we got Canto 1 and Canto 6 and Canto 5. And so Canto 2, there's an example when Lord Brahma was all alone in the universe and scared and uncertain what to do, Krishna gave him guidance in the heart, tapa. Mm-hmm. And then after a long meditation, he personally shook his hand.
And I've read in the commentaries that Krishna doesn't always shake Brahma's hand at the end of his... No, depending on his relationship with Krishna, Lord, that the individual Brahma has with Krishna, sometimes he'll hug him or other things.
Lord, in the form of Varahadev, he played with Hiranyaksha and he was fighting with him and then ultimately killed him. So, mainly, he was...
Tell us how that means that he was his real friend. Scold him deeper.
He was actually his devotee in the as Jaya and Vijaya, and then he became as a demon. So Lord was very compassionate on him and just fighting with him.
Okay. Lord, and then what happened to him?
And then he was killed finally.
Oh, so that's not very friendly. And then what happened?
He took his next birth. As what? Yes, in the Krishna Lila.
We'll let that pass. He took his next birth. He was. Who are you talking about? Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. The next one is Ramlila, right? Yeah. Okay. Yes, Prabhu?
There's a very small detail there. Hiranyaksha was saying, abusing birds to Lord Varadeva, he was. So then he felt bad that he is my devotee and he is treating me like that. So that revealed little sentiment on part of Lord that he is also feeling bad, seeing that his dear devotee is fighting with him and saying all kinds of words to him.
Oh, thank you. And then another detail from the same two devotees, Jai and Vijay, who were the gatekeepers of the Lord, and they got cursed by the... Who did they get cursed by? Kumaras, the four Kumaras. When Lord Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, because another thing that was mentioned in the verse was how the Lord sees with equal, he sees equally. He sees with equal vision. So after Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, he wasn't thinking of him as a demon. He was thinking of him as his dear servant, similar to what you were saying, as Jai and Vijay. Jai or Vijay. I don't know which one he was, but Jai or Vijay. And so therefore, Nrisimhadev was very happy to sit on Hiranyakashipu's throne because he was thinking, this is my servant who has previously offered me so much service. Therefore, I would love to sit on this throne of his now that I've killed him and pulled his guts out. Okay, did we get anything from the fourth canto yet? Oh. What about Dhruva Maharaj?
Well, Dhruva Maharaj wanted the kingdom greater than Brahma, but Lord appeared himself and bestowed his mercy. But just by touching his head, he felt so good.
What did he compare his
broken glasses?
Yeah, he was looking for broken glasses. What was he looking for? Broken glass. And what did he get?
Jewel.
A jewel?
Jewel.
Jewel. Jewel. You're right. You're totally right. Thank you. And also there, the Lord exhibited his mercy by talking to Narada, by sending Narada. I mean, Dhruva, there was Dhruva, the young little 5-year-old Kshatriya child, who was so determined to meet God in this one lifetime that he just goes off in a huff to the forest. So how is it that Narada Muni just happened to come there? Because he was directed by the Lord, because Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so kind. He's always directing. Anyone who wants to turn to the Lord, he's directing. He's immediately giving them some direction how they can take advantage of that situation. So, now how about, have you experienced it in your life? So here we just talked about great, great personalities from the Bhagavatam. But have you experienced in your life how Krishna's your dear friend and how he's guided you? I'm sure you have, because otherwise you wouldn't all be sitting here in this nice Krishna house. So don't think that these are just examples that we're giving from the Bhagavatam, and they don't really apply to little, old, insignificant, teeny-weeny me. But they do. Krishna's there in our hearts also, directing our wanderings and guiding us. And so we need to take opportunity and prayerful moments to try to hear the guidance of the Lord. Try to hear and follow the guidance of the Lord. And what one result of that will be that he'll give you more guidance. We can even see in our relationships, if you have a kind of like a neutral friend, that's okay. But if you have a friend who's really interested in you, then it naturally become more interested in that person, and you're thinking of ways of reciprocating more. So Krishna's not just like that, but he's like that also. So if he sees, oh, this little living entity, or here the example, the bird has finally turned towards me, now let me give him some advice, and they're trying, So let me give him some more advice. Let me give him some more help. He's giving that guidance, and he'll continue to give us the guidance. In fact, I've mentioned probably before, but maybe you don't remember. Srila Prabhupada says in Nectar of Instruction that the process of bhakti yoga is so potent that once having begun, just even beginning, just once having begun, one is assured of ultimate success by the potency of bhakti alone. By Krishna's, and that's what's that bhakti, the ladini shakti, the internal potency of the Lord. It's so potent, and Krishna, he's so desirous. The Lord is so desirous to get all the living entities to turn toward him that even if they just start the process of devotional service somehow or other in a little way, that ultimately their ultimate success is guaranteed. So we could say that every single person that's even tasted a morsel of Krishna lunch, they're coming to ultimate success from that. Any person who's walked by a Harinam and thought whatever they thought about the Harinam, whatever, but they heard the holy name, they're ultimately going to be successful in the path of devotional service. Ultimately, might take a little longer to get actually started, but still, they've come into contact with the transcendental sound vibration, the transcendental process of devotional service. And ultimately, Prabhupada says, he uses the word, they'll be dragged to ultimate success by the potency of bhakti. So if you've ever had the experience of trying to get somebody to do something that doesn't want to do it, and, excuse me, no comments from the temple president, please. Or let's take this example. Get someone who's really young to do something that doesn't want to do it. Not that you guys are old or anything, but, you know, like a little kid. You want to get the little kid, and he doesn't want to do it. And ultimately, you might just have to, like, put him in the car or whatever, you know. This is all, you know, very nicely grabbing the kid. So if they're kicking and screaming and digging their heels in the ground, it's harder to pull them. It's harder to guide them, I mean to say. It's harder to guide them into the car to sit down properly. And they're holding their arms up and they won't get in the door. You know, you have to, like, it's a little bit harder. So let's not be kicking and screaming like that, not surrendering to good instructions from temple authorities or whatever. But if we make our humble attempt to be open to the guidance of the Lord. Now, Lord Brahma, another thing from Nectar of Devotion. It's ultimately from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's 10th canto, Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, verse number 8. What's that verse, Nandakumar? Tatenukampam sushamikshamanam punjayan va. Yep, that's it. Thank you. That's as much as Mukti Sade Sadayabak. Mukti Pade Sadayabak. Thank you. That's how I know the verse too. Okay. Tatenu Kampan. Lord Brahma is saying, Prabhupada says in the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada says about this verse should be the guide for all devotees. It should be our guide. And what he's saying there is that, if one suffers the result, if one goes on in his life suffering the result of different past impious activities and at the same time offering his attitude of gratitude to the Lord, then he'll ultimately, or even enjoying the results of previous pious activities and thinking, I actually don't deserve this good thing, but Krishna's so kind, he's giving it to me anyway. Or when we're suffering in different results of different activities and we think, actually, Krishna's very kind. I actually deserve to suffer more, but he's very kind. He's only giving me a token, this little token, this little small amount. He's so kind. Krishna's so kind. That if one has that attitude about things that happen to us during our life, then one becomes eligible to enter into the kingdom of God, just as one becomes eligible to inherit, to get the inheritance from your rich uncle. If you just are alive, if you stay alive, if you're alive when the uncle dies or your father dies or whomever dies and he bequeaths you his estate, if you're alive, you'll get that inheritance. So if we stay alive in devotional service by a proper attitude, that attitude of gratitude, Krishna is so kind. And he's actually, just like the other day, one of the devotees, Vishnupriya, had a car accident. Yeah? Do you know that? In Jacksonville? Vishnupriya, our Vishnupriya in Jacksonville, on her way to work, somebody hit her in the back and her car flipped over 3 times. Side of the road flipped over 3 times. And when she came to, she was suspended upside down with her seatbelt, and all she could hear was Srila Prabhupada's tape going on in her car. So calamities do happen. They will happen. And if one has the attitude, I deserve worse, but Krishna is so kind that I just got this little token, and you offer your gratitude to the Lord, your prayers to the Lord, and you try to learn the lessons that are there, then you're situated, properly situated. You'll be situated that you'll be able to, properly situated so that you'll be able to take the ups and downs of life. Srila Prabhupada says in this paragraph in Nectar Devotion, he says, no one should think that because I've taken to devotional service, I shouldn't suffer my just due for my past activities that I've committed myself. I've taken to devotional service. I'm trying. Why did I break my leg? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? You know, Krishna's kind, and oftentimes we've given these Ekadasi examples. Sometimes when you're in the kitchen cutting up sabjis on Ekadasi and you cut your finger, and the devotee says, well, that's mercy, Prabhu. You should have cut your arm off and you only cut your finger, you know. And sometimes it's a little hard to take statements like that, but ultimately it's the truth. Krishna's really kind. I should have cut my arm off or broke my, you know, whatever. But Krishna's so kind. You just got a little nick there. So that attitude, it actually will help us and make progress in devotional service. So do you have any suggestions? How about that? Do you have any suggestions how we can maintain these positive attitudes or try to? How about you, Kalakanta Prabhu?
It's just discipline to count one's blessings. And it's a habit. It takes about 2 weeks to break an old habit and 2 more weeks to establish a new habit.
I've never experienced that. Sorry.
No?
I mean, so these are experts. Somebody...
But it says that in a book.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Somebody wrote it down. It takes 2... I haven't been able to break my habits for 900 years. But
well,
anyway...
That's because you haven't practiced counting your blessings.
Oh, thanks. Okay. Okay.
Anyway, that's the idea. It is a mental discipline to appreciate the good things that we have, because it's... We could have 99 good things and 1 bad thing going on in our life, and we're 99% occupied with the 1 bad thing.
That's a really good point. Have anyone ever experienced that? Yeah, thank you. Any other tips how we can stay a little more transcendental than we are?
I think hearing like lecture we're hearing today, that's I guess the greatest inspiration, hearing about what Srila Prabhupada is giving this message. We might have heard so many times, but hearing regularly gives us motivation.
I agree. Except for hearing the lecture part, but a hearing from Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's devotees, like we're now in the 11th canto, it's very important to get in the habit of hearing. That, because this is called transcendental knowledge. And how do we transcend? We get, at 9:05, you're all going to be out of here. And your day is going to start, and so many things are going to have, they might have already started already anyway. You know, so many things are going to happen, and life is going to go on. And the modes of material nature are pushing us down and pushing us all around. How do you stay transcendental? You have to hear. You have to hear. You have to hear your rounds. You have to hear Srila Prabhupada's books.
I get my motivation from the examples of previous devotees, beginning from Pandavas and even before. I used to wonder why these devotees have to suffer so much, but this is one of the reasons I can think of that to motivate us to go on in this life. It's for our sake that they suffered so much.
Very good. It's a very good point. Yeah, actually sometimes we have this impression that devotional service means, you know, like if I become a devotee of Krishna, nothing bad's going to happen. But then you look at these stories of the Pandavas, they suffered so much. But was it real suffering? It was so much not suffering that Kunti says, let these calamities come again and again because I can remember you.
So when the modes push us, and you talked about earlier about making a choice whether we want Krishna or not, so how the two connect? I mean, like when the modes push us, so we are feeling, we have a bad feelings or like some good feelings. So